Hello and welcome to The Selfish Podcast. Today's guest, Ling Ya, a host of her own podcast and a multi-talented lady. So I'm really excited to hear her story and her journey of life. So welcome, Ling. Can you share with me where in the world you are right now? What time of day is it for you?
So I'm actually based in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, and it's actually 8 p.m. So it's a really lovely time for me.
Oh, nice. I'm here in the south of Spain and it's 1 p.m. in the afternoon for me. It's nice and beautiful that we can connect in such a fast and easy way these days, connect with people all around the world. And we actually met through a Facebook group for podcasts.
Yes.
And you have your own podcast show as well. So I imagine that's where you look for your guests in other ways.
Yes.
Can you tell me, like, how many podcasts have you done personally? Do you have a number? Do you know?
Yep. So I have actually released 75 episodes. So that's, I mean, it's a weekly podcast, so it grows every single week.
Oh, nice. And what I like to do with my guests is I want to get to know you more personally and intimately. So I like to start from the beginning. Can you tell me a little bit about your childhood, say pre-10 years old, where you grew up, what your parents did for a living? Just paint me a beautiful picture of your childhood, if it was beautiful.
Yeah, so I actually grew up in Borneo, which is actually East Malaysia. And it was actually a really nice, idyllic sort of childhood. I mean, it was quite Asian in the sense that it was very much old studies. And after school, there was even more lessons. So I grew up doing art, doing ballroom dancing. I was in synchronized swimming at the state level as well for a period. But music was basically always my life and I always loved it. So there was a period after I finished my A-levels when I thought, do I go to a conservatoire or do I do law? Because I loved English and I suppose where I end up.
Yeah. What was school like for you in your early years? Did you enjoy school? You didn't enjoy it?
I quite enjoyed school, actually. I think I learned quite quickly that I didn't actually like the science part. I was a lot more creative. But because of the way that the studies were structured, I did end up doing science. So, I mean, I had that brief understanding of what physics, chemistry and bio was. But once I reached A-levels, I thought, this is not something I'm ever going to do. So I just even dropped it and I did history, mathematics and literature, which I absolutely loved.
Oh, nice. And what did your parents do when you were young?
So my dad's an architect. My mom was a homemaker, but she was a piano teacher. So she basically taught me piano.
Oh, nice. And do you remember your earliest like ambition, like when you was a child, the first thing you thought, that's what I want to do, that's what I want to become? Do you remember that?
I do. I actually wanted to be a jockey because I love horses and my zodiac animal is a horse. And I mean, every single opportunity I could take, I would just get on a horse. And I remember this thinking when I was 10 years old and I was taking weekly horse riding lessons and my mom kind of brought me to the side and said, look at all the jockeys who are around, because I was quite tall as a 10-year-old. And she said, yeah, the jockeys all have to be really short and really small in size to do their job as a jockey. And obviously, since you're 10, you already told them this probably isn't something that you can consider as a full-time career. So it was quite smart for her to, you know, show me that kind of visual representation and make me go, yeah, probably need to start thinking about something else.
Okay, nice. And you have a British accent. So where did you pick up English and where's your accent from?
So I think my accent is quite... It's evolved over time because growing up, I mean, I always spoke English, but at home we would speak a mixture of Mandarin and Malay. I suppose I picked it up more when I was in London because I spent quite a few years there and I still have a lot of friends and I still go back quite frequently. I guess as a Malaysian as well, you learn to adapt depending on who you speak with. And so if I spoke to my parents, I would never speak like this. But then if I spoke to my colleagues, I would also never speak the way that I speak to my parents, just because I found that when I first came back to Malaysia from London, the first interactions I had with all the people at stores was always, your accent's really strong. I have no idea what you just said. And I was really frustrated. So I learned quite quickly that the best way was just for me to adapt because I could adapt and I just want to be able to communicate easily.
Oh, nice. Well, yeah, you have a very good English language. And they said, if I wasn't to know, I'd think it's your first language.
Yeah, it is my first language.
Yeah. And what comes to mind first when I say, what was your earliest struggle in life?
My earliest struggle in life, I suppose, would... that's an interesting question. I suppose it was really just studies and... I just didn't enjoy science, and I just really, really struggled with it. And I could tell it was not really my thing, because I was very lucky to sit beside this person called Nick. He was my desk mate, and he was such a natural at it. So we would be studying chemistry and physics, and he would be reading his parents' medical journals. And when we were learning how to do mathematics, he would be sitting there and coming up with his own formula and ways to resolve the exact same question that we were trying to solve based on the textbook. And so I was really quite frustrated, but he was so kind. He always guided me and was always helping me. But I remember that was my big struggle, because no matter how hard I tried, it just didn't seem to flow naturally for me. And yeah, I suppose that's kind of why I was even more convinced when I went to A levels. I just wanted to literature.
Yeah. Did you find at that time there was something that took that pressure off for you, or was that later in life that you was able to sort of get past that boundary?
Did you mean just in terms of studying?
In terms of not acceptance, but realizing, like you said, when you got to A levels, you just realized that's not where your talents lie, and yeah. You was able then to move on from that. Whereas I imagine when you're younger, they said it's hard when there's something like I can relate to seeing someone else doing something so easily. And you're like, yeah. Why can't I do that? Why? What's wrong with me?
Yeah. There are periods like that for sure. When I was at A-levels or when I picked up literature, I distinctly remember that it was just the easiest thing in the world. I remember that the first thing we ever studied was Frankenstein. And all I did was just pick up the book, read it once, and I just got an A. in the exam, whereas I saw everyone else in my class really struggling. And I thought, oh, this is what it means to just find something that's really natural for me, because I felt that I was taking to it the way my friend used to take to the science class that I never understood. So I suppose that's when the struggle kind of lifted.
Oh, nice. And yeah, so really, like for me, it was languages was actually my biggest issue. Like we in England, we start learning French first, and we do that for a few years. Then you get a choice to learn Spanish or French. And I thought, yeah. I'll continue learning French, even though I'm not picking it up, but I've already done a couple of years. So I'll continue to do another. And I just could not. And I watched everyone in the class picking up, and I really tried at points, and I just couldn't pick it up. And then I got to a point where I was just like, I can't do this. And the teacher even said, like, just don't even participate in the lesson. Just do whatever you want, because you're just not learning. You're not doing it.
Oh, no, but, that's not really kind.
Yeah, I think because I was trying, and then I think the teacher could see I gave up, and she thought, let's just leave him alone. And I would just sit there and draw. Like I said, I always like to be more creative and artistic, and yeah. I liked English language and understanding story concepts, but the actual process of trying to learn another language, it just never, even to this day, like I'm in Spain now and I'm trying to learn Spanish all the time.
Yeah.
And I found that I learn much better from sound rather than writing. When it's written, it just does not stick, and I will pronounce it wrong. But yeah. If I can pick up the sound and have a conversation with someone and mimic the sound they're making, then I can start to pick something up.
Yeah, I suppose it's great that you're in Spain as well, because you kind of have no choice but to speak the local language, or you just won't be able to get on with life.
Yeah, I live a really isolated life, though. I live full-time in a van traveling, but I take myself out into the depths of nature as far. Like right now where I am, there is no one around. I haven't seen anyone in days. So I don't speak to people so often, but I know how to say all the words I need to shop. Yeah. Or buy something.
Do you not miss humans, or is it just something that you really, really enjoy?
It's both. I really do enjoy the company of other people and integrating with them and socializing. And I'm very fortunate that I can do that online, like I am now with you. If I didn't have the technology at hand, I think then I would feel it a lot more. But also I love being in nature, and I'm not completely alone. I have my love Danielle. I have 5 cats and a dog, so there's 8 of us. So
that
we're not
company.
Yes, I have some company. I was talking to another girl who's traveling, who we met, and was talking about being isolated, being alone. And she goes, well, you're not really alone. She's like, I'm completely alone when I go somewhere. She's traveling on her own. And she's like, and it's just me. She goes, there's 8 of you. And I was like, yeah, I suppose so.
Would you ever like go and truly be alone? Would you do what she did, do you think?
I've had moments where I've gone away for like a couple of days on my own, say with a tent or something occasionally. And it's a beautiful experience, but something chaotic would have to happen for me to lose, because I love my little furry family that I have. I love Danielle, so I don't think I'll be it won't be necessary for me to have that much alone time, I don't think.
Yeah.
You know, but it is nice to just have that silence and
for
be
sure.
like you say, it's this bird singing now. I don't know if you can hear them. So I'm not, again, not alone. There's life around.
Yeah, just in a way you say that you're having more of a life just because you're so much more connected with the world around you rather than just being on screen and just feeling like you have to hustle just because that's the structure of your day.
Yeah, and I'm from, like I said, a city near an airport, and it's like the complete opposite upbringing I had to what I have now. And I had to acclimatize to it as well. It wasn't an easy process, like to go into nature, even in the dark. I was scared at first to walk through trees in the pitch black. It was like, what could be there? You know, what's this? What's this bug?
Oh my goodness. I don't think I would have the guts to walk into pitch dark.
I didn't realize I had the problem until I did it.
Yeah. I suppose once you do it, then you kind of get used to it and you just go, well, come what may.
Yeah. And it becomes a process. But no, that's how I live and what my life is at the moment. But like I said, I have this opportunity to be online and I connect with people through the podcast in all sorts of different countries and different places. And yeah, it's amazing, as well as other social platforms. So you started a podcast. What inspired you to start your podcast?
Well, I started my podcast because I realized that I was basically almost going through the motions. I mean, I was a lawyer. I've always been a lawyer. And I thought there was this, I suppose it's almost like a midlife crisis, a quarter life crisis, surely there must be more to life than this, but what's out there? And I just couldn't imagine anything beyond being a lawyer. And it was around that time when I just thought, I just discovered podcasts and I loved it so much. And it shocked me that there was one thing to read about a person's life. It was quite another to hear that person tell their story with their voice, hear all the emotions. And I was just so invested in their stories, even though I had no idea what they looked like. And I actually never considered their industry, for instance, as something I would be interested in. But because I felt that personal connection, I was just in for the ride. And when I had certain podcasts I learned to listen to all the time, then they felt like my best friends, which seemed wild to me. So I loved podcasts and I was looking for more people who loved what they did, or I thought they loved what they do. They certainly seemed like they had found it and made a success of it. And I just wanted to have the opportunity to speak with them. And somehow that process went from, I would like to start a podcast, to I need to start a podcast. And I actually went to Everest Base Camp in March 2020. So I told myself, after I come back from Everest, then I would start this podcast, because the first thing that you always hear everyone say is, if you're a content creator, you must be consistent. I knew I couldn't launch a couple of episodes and just disappear for a month and then come back and launch it again. But who knew, you know, when I went to Everest, that I would end up being stuck there for a month. So the launch day was a lot later than I anticipated.
Yeah, so you went to Everest and got stuck there. Was that because of the pandemic? What happened there?
Yeah, it got stuck because of the pandemic. So when we went to Kathmandu, actually you could hear these rumors of some kind of virus come out of China. You heard that it was kind of impacting South Korea, but it was one of those, oh, it's going to be confined to those areas, not going to impact us. When we arrived in Kathmandu, we got onto the flight, arrived at Lukla, which is the entry point into that hike. And it was just completely fine, very natural, very normal. But there were a lot less crowds because we found out that a day or two into our hike that all the other hiking licenses had been cancelled. So if we hadn't started as we had, then we wouldn't have been allowed onto the mountains. And it was all because of the pandemic. But when we started, we were lucky enough to start without being cancelled.
Oh, nice. And what made you choose to, what was your inspiration to go to Everest, and what feelings, that must have given you some incredible feelings. What did that feel like to be there?
It was so incredible. I loved it so much. So I actually had hiked at this place called Mount Kinabalu, which is one of the highest mountains in Malaysia. And I remember hiking, and I never done hikes before ever, even small hikes. But when I went up and I was just above the treetops and clouds were all around me, it felt like almost like if you were in London, the perfect London summer day, which is exceedingly rare. But when it's perfect, it is perfect. So it was like that on those mountains. And for some reason, I looked around and just thought, I really want to see Everest. I just really want to see Everest, do Everest Base Camp. And it's a wild idea because up to that point, I had never, ever watched or read anything related to the Everest. I never considered doing it. But that idea just took root in my mind and decided I was just going to do it. So I did do it. And I arrived, and they, just from, you know, that get-go when I arrived in Lukla, it was so stunning. you would have all these buildings, and in between you see giant mountains just peeking through. As you're hiking one giant mountain surrounded by three others, and you can't see beyond that. When you are bunking down, it didn't matter where we were, the views from our room were just breathtaking. It was like nothing I'd ever seen before.
Oh, nice. Yeah. My first thought comes to like what you were saying about that you hadn't really gone on many hikes or really done anything like that before. Because I would think like that is sort of expert level things. How difficult was it? Or was it that like, did you go with a certain company that sets out the package and you have a group of you and they help you along the process?
Yeah. So I definitely went with a group of my friends, and my friends, some of them are actually really experienced hikers. So I knew I was in good hands and they would find the right people. We definitely hired locals. There was one guy, then we had porters as well. And so the porters would carry our 10 kg bags so that we were really, really spoiled. It was really, really important to have the guys, at least for us, just because he had a package. So when we arrived at our tea house, we didn't have to pay for anything. We could just pick anything we wanted from the menu for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And he knew everything that was required. So for instance, when some of my friends fell sick, he knew who to call, how to arrange. I mean, there are plenty of other people who did it by themselves, but I think it was a good idea firstly for us to do it just because of all the convenience. But secondly, also, it's just a way of giving back to the local community, because I learned there that the porters, they were only paid $2 a day for carrying 40 kg up the mountain. And that is considered a good salary for them. And so if you hike without the assistance of porters, then that's great for you, but you're kind of not really contributing to the local community, which I think is quite important. Whereas the guide himself, he was only paid $10 a day, which is actually nothing for us, but it is life-changing for them. So I would definitely encourage people to do that if possible.
Yeah, and that's like one of the biggest impacts on the world is, for most countries, the actual tourism and that interaction provides so much for the communities, especially in the smaller towns.
Yes.
And when that shut down, that's caused them so much turmoil. Yes. Like even here in Spain, tourism is one of the biggest incomes that they get. And when it shut down, like I think it's like they double their population just with British tourists in the summer, which is crazy. Because
wow. Yeah.
So many come in. And then when that shut down, all the business, you just saw businesses everywhere closing, all the restaurants, all the beachside places, even when they could open.
Yeah.
It was like they can't open because there's no one coming, because it weren't the locals that really went there, it was tourists.
Yeah.
And I had a similar. Yeah.
Sorry. It must have been so terrifying for them.
Yeah, I saw a lot of people going through a lot of stress. But there's also in the smaller towns, there's a real strong community and family, and you could see people supporting each other and still like they were still had a strength within them.
Yep.
Which was nice to see people sort of coming together still and supporting each other. But yeah, for the business side of things, you could just see so much shutting down.
Yeah.
And even now it's sort of opening and opened a little, but you still see so many empty places now. And
oh no.
You so see how it is this summer.
Are the tourists back in full force, or are they just trickling in?
As the weather's getting better now, at the earliest part of the year, it's like I'm seeing a lot more people come in, like in camper vans from other places in Europe, like that camping side of things, the traveling vans, because the flights are less. Lots of people seem to be getting in their van and going camping because they can sort of be a lot more isolated. So I have seen a lot of foreign plates from France, Germany, Switzerland, Belgium, like you see their number plates everywhere.
Yeah.
So there is that influx, but yeah, I'll have to wait till the summer and see how drive through a city and see the beachside cats and see how they're doing.
Yeah, hopefully you'll come back to normal. It sounds like everyone is, you know, kind of sick of it and just lifting all the restrictions.
Yeah, and I had a similar experience where I went to India when I was younger, and we went to like up to Kashmir, and we went to this like religious cave right at the top, and you had to hike up. I don't know how far it was. It was really far, and you go into this cave, and they bless you, and it's like I think they said like Shiva or something has spent time there or something. I was quite young, but I remember hiking there, and I remember the sort of the locals there would come with you and try and carry your bags, like you said, for pennies.
Yeah.
And then they wanted you to ride a donkey, and I was like, no, I want to do the walk. And I remember me and my brother refused. We didn't want to get on a donkey, and we didn't want them to carry our bag, so we paid them to walk with us.
Oh,
and we carried our bag, and we let the donkey ride, like walk alongside us. So we was like, look, we'll pay you, but just have a walk, come for a walk with us, you don't need to.
They must have been really confused when you did that.
Yeah, no, they looked a little confused, if anything. It's funny because the guy we was with, like, it was with like a charity in England from a youth club that was with that organized it. And the main guy who was a sort of run it and organized it, he was sitting on the horse with like these guys carrying loads of his stuff, and he looked like a king. Like, he's like, he was just me and my brother sort of looking, going like, he's enjoying this too much.
Yeah, that was quite funny.
Yeah, and I remember they even gave massages and stuff to the walkers. Like, they're massaging people's legs. They're doing anything they can to just make that extra penny. Like, it was like 10 rupees, which I think was like 1 penny or something, you know, to get a 10-minute massage at that time.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's just...
Yeah, it's unbelievable that for us it's nothing, but for them it just is life-changing.
Yeah, definitely. Like, it's a real big thing. So this, like I said, this last 2 years has been an intense process for everyone, and everyone's had... I don't think there's anyone anywhere who hasn't been impacted in some way or some form by the last 2 years. How has the last 2 years been for you in your sort of personal development of life?
I think in terms of personal development, it's been quite tremendous just because I had this podcast and I never realized how it would change my life, but it really has, in the sense that, and you were saying earlier about how you felt that you could connect with the world with the podcast, even though you're out in nature. It was basically the same thing. Everybody was sort of sick of being alone and just feeling as though they were distant and not a part of a community. And I felt actually the exact opposite. It was strange, but I never felt more connected with the world when we were in lockdown. And I think it was because it's a weekly podcast. So I knew I was definitely going to meet one new person every single week for, you know, the rest of the year, for years. And I mean, honestly, before I started the podcast, I wouldn't have been able to say that. I wouldn't have been able to say even in half a year, I would definitely meet at least one new person. But with this, it was consistent. And in order to have that conversation, I would really dig into their lives, really understand where they're coming from, what industry they were doing. And it felt as though I was learning so much. And it was really deliberate. I knew I wanted to meet anyone and everyone from all walks of life, whether they are Olympians or Michelin star chefs or late night executive producers, and being able to speak to them and learn just a little bit more to have that conversation. I mean, even though I'm not an expert in it, I know I can have a conversation with anyone else and say, hey, this is the kind of thing that I learned and I will always carry with me. And I hope that I continue to do this because I feel it just brings me so much personal joy. And I know that it will help me to just grow a little bit more and get out of my bubble, which I know I was in, I still am in. But hopefully with this, it's a deliberate sort of way of me going, I have no idea what this person does and I have no idea what it's like to be him. But because I've done the work, I have a better idea and I will always carry that knowledge and understanding, empathy with me.
Yeah, nice. No, I can really relate to that, having been put in the podcast, that I started mine a bit later than yours. I think I started around August or September last year. And at the beginning, I was like, I'll just do one a month. And I was like, because I'm just doing it to connect with people. I just started a YouTube channel where I was sharing my life, my journey, what worked for me, and putting stuff out there. Because I talk a lot about suicide and depression and mental health issues that I've witnessed and suffered. And I thought, in the pandemic, I saw so much of that rise. I thought, you know what, I should share content that I broke through my sort of traumas and my stresses. So I would just share what worked for me. It might give someone some hope, some possibility, or some love for life again, or just encourage them. So I thought, I'll just put out my stuff. And then after like a year of doing that, I was like, I feel like I want to talk, I want to hear other people. I'm always talking about my experience, my perspective, my life. And I was like, everyone's got a life, everyone's got something unique. And I was like, oh, do you know what, I'm going to just put a podcast out once a month, and anyone and everyone is welcome. Like, there's no criteria. As long as they can talk and they have a device to connect with, that's all that's needed, because I just want to know about their life and their uniqueness. And then after a bit of time, I was like, you know what, I can do one of these a week. And I was like, yeah, I'll do one a week. So I do mine, so every Sunday there's a new episode. Like you said, and I've just met extraordinary people. Everyone is so different, everyone's so unique, in like totally different paths of life. But yeah, I look forward to it. Like, it's exciting talking to you now and being in this moment. So it's like a real, like you said, it's a real intimate thing, because sometimes we don't talk to our friends that we've grown up with in the level of depth we might talk to with someone that we've never met. And you know, we just connected on a podcast and you talk about all sorts of things that you just might not have ever even shared before.
Yes, and it would be sort of strange, wouldn't it, if you just sat down with a friend and say, hey, tell me about your childhood and why you did this kind of thing during your schooling years and why you're doing what you're doing right now. It's just, we don't normally have this kind of conversation in real life.
Do you know what? One of my first episodes, when I first started, I was like, do you know what? I'm going to just invite some of my actual friends that, like, my friends that I grew up with that I've known forever. And one of my, like, really closest friends, he said, yeah, I'll do it. So I got to ask him all about his life and journey. I found out so much about him I had no idea about.
Oh,
and
wow.
It's like his passions for what he wants to do in the future. And he got nervous and he said, I've never told anyone this.
Oh.
It's like his dream was to be on to one day have some sort of farm with cows and produce like as conscious milk as possible. He's a Hare Krishna and he's like, oh, if I could make milk for the locals that's from cows that have just been loved and taken care of. And I could hear the passion in his voice. Then he got embarrassed and goes, oh, it's just a dream. It's just a dream.
Oh, no.
But it was so interesting that he shared it. It was like,
So, you know, it's like the one that one step closer to it being reality.
Yeah, no, and it was nice to be able to encourage him in it and like be like, no, if that's what you're passionate about, so now I can follow up with him and be like, are you doing anything towards that? Are you still thinking about it? But it was just so interesting to hear someone like that you've known for 20 years and something you hear more about them in an hour than you have in 20 years.
You feel as though your friendship has deepened after doing that podcast interview with him?
Yeah, definitely. I'll have to ask him.
Yeah, that's so good. That's so special. I found that as well personally, because sometimes I do invite my friends over and as guests as well, and I find that I've learned a lot of things about them that I never would have learned. And I've also had friends who would contact me, and they are people I haven't spoken to in 5 years, 10 years, and they go, oh, you're doing this podcast thing, that's amazing. And there's this sort of topic to sort of relaunch our friendship, and then they'll go, oh, I know this other person, we can connect, I can connect you with him, would you like to interview him? And then it just opens the potential for what we can talk about, and just it's new friendship that's just re-entered my life, and I think that's so special.
Yeah, so how do you go around finding your guests? Like, is it changed? Have you found a certain way that you found is best?
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't really changed in the sense that most of them are people I don't know, so I tend to do a cold pitch. Most of the time, even now, I still try to find their email. That's my first part of calling. I always just send email. If I can't find email, it really depends on the person. So for instance, if they're in NFTs or if they are tech people, then Twitter DMs are really helpful, or IG DMs. But I tend to just rely firstly on emails if possible.
Yeah, no, I've done the same. And do you remember the first person? Because I remember exactly the first person that reached out to you and said, I want to be on your podcast.
Yeah, I mean, I've had quite a few people reach out to me. I tend to not say yes to that just because I have a very clear vision of who I would like to have on the podcast, and I tend to already have all my content schedule lined up. So I would tend to say, yeah, let me think about it. I will put you on the list, but I'll get back to you.
I just send them my calendar link, and I was like, if you work out with my time, you're welcome, whatever you are, whoever you are, you can just come on, I'll find out. Like, yeah. Some people don't send me anything. Like, you sent me a little description of what you've done, and I skim read it because I'm like, I don't want to know too much. I was like, I want to find out the show. I like just not knowing anything. And then just going with it and finding out, because sometimes I'm surprised. Like, I had a guy the other day who was like a circus performer for 20 years and done all this, like, he does loads of crazy stuff, and it was just so interesting. And I had a lady on the other week that was 25 years on hardcore heroin, crack, cocaine, and like transformed. And it's like the diversity that I've experienced of people. It's like, I would have never met or spoke to people like this in my life, because I wouldn't, where would I come across them?
Yeah. You know, is there a particular guest that really stood out for you and why?
Sorry?
Is there a particular guest that has really stood out for you and why did they stand out?
Oh, that's a good question. Do you know what? It's hard not to get the ones that have just happened to stick in my mind first, like the most latest one, like the one that went out this Sunday was the woman who was on drugs for years. So like she's at the moment consistently in my mind, and we've been DMing each other on Instagram to share content and just support each other, because she's really inspirational and just such a beautiful person inside and out. So it's like nice to have that connection. And then there was one which was a guy who has a charity organization called Poor Salvation in Chicago. And he noticed when he first came to Chicago the amount of poverty there was and homeless people, and he just noticed that a lot of the homeless people had pets. And he is asking his wife, he's like, who takes care of the pets? He goes, how, like, if they go and earn £10 on the street, he goes, they're going to feed their pet first. And he goes, is there anyone taking care of their animals? So he started his own charity to specifically look after homeless people's animals, as well as the homeless people themselves. But he'll take animals and pick them up off the street, take them to the vet if they need to, help them get microchipped. And like, I follow him on Instagram and I'm constantly just seeing all the food that he's donating. And he does these big rallies where people come and from the streets and just pick up bags and bags of dog food. And he also told me cats. He said more homeless people have cats than dogs. And that blew my mind. So that really stuck out.
Did he learn why so many homeless people had so many pets?
Yeah, it was really interesting because he was like, it's, they get love and support and company and they're not judged, it seems. They don't have a judgment from the animal for whatever that has happened in their life. And he said he's met so many that they've come off drugs once the animals come into their life. They don't need their drugs anymore. They're not drinking. They're not taking other drugs. He goes, because they're looking after this animal, but the animal's given them, to me, the love that they was missing. And it keeps them sort of sober and it keeps them ambitious. And he's got stories of people that have come off the streets because of their animals and managed to get themselves back into life.
Wow, that's really special.
Yeah, so that's really nice. And yeah, them guests stick out in my mind. And I said, there's just such a diversity of authors and different people. Like I'm currently in the process of writing some books. So having the authors and people that have published books is really helpful for me to find out more about that world and how it works.
Absolutely. Is there a particular type of guest that you would love to have, but you haven't yet?
Oh, I don't know. No, I don't think so. Not that comes to mind first.
Yeah.
Right. You know, like I could easily say, oh, like someone that's got like really high credibility because I'd like to also get their audience to my audience and connect with them. But someone like Tony Robbins, for example, I really have followed his work for a lot of years and I love how he connects people and helps enlighten people back to their sort of self and get productive. So someone like him, I'd be really interested to talk to him. But also because he shares so much, I already know so much about him that it wouldn't be sort of fresh news to me.
Yeah.
You know, I like it when it's like I don't know anything about them. And I like people that have no social profile and they're not doing it for something. It's just their life.
Yes. Yes. That's really special though. I love that it's just connecting among people in its purest sense.
Yeah. So your podcast is called So This Is My Why. So what's your why?
That's the question that everyone always asks me when they see the title. And I honestly wish I could answer the question, but that's precisely why I started the podcast, because I have no idea what my why is. So I thought, let me ask other people who I think they might know, and I would try and figure out whether I can find my why in the process. So I honestly don't. I wish I knew. But at the same time, I feel as though after doing 75 episodes, that almost becomes a question that doesn't really matter. Because even some of the quote-unquote most successful people who you would look up to and whose names you recognize and working at companies that you definitely know, they would actually say at the end of the day, I don't know, or I've never thought about it, or it's changed over time. And I feel as though the question ultimately really isn't what is your why or have you thought about it. Some people really know, but it's really just a question of were you brave enough to follow your curiosity, because your curiosity will lead you down into strange but wonderful paths. And there's this particular person I remember interviewing, and she just followed her curiosity. She did radio journalism for about 10 years. And after that, the Malaysia's first business radio channel started. And she couldn't have possibly known that this startup would ever, ever begin. But she just followed curiosity. And 10 years later, she was in the perfect position to take on the job that was perfect for her. And I thought that was really special. And that was just really, really consistent throughout all the stories I heard. It's not so much your why, but just your curiosity and you putting the work in, and serendipity would just happen.
Yeah, no, I've noticed that pattern in quite a few of my guests, where it's like it hasn't happened because they said like, this is what I'm going to do and this is how I'm going to do it.
Yeah,
they've sort of been open to situations and they're in a mindset of, say, opportunity, but also they're consistent in effort. They just consistently try and go for things. And when something pops up, they're like, they say yes and they go for it. One lady I had a few weeks ago, she was a published author. She's had like 13 books, over 75 international awards for her writing. And she started because she teaches children with cognitive disorders. And she made a book telling a story to help teach the kids. And then someone said, oh, why don't you send that off to a publisher, see if they'll publish it. So she just did, because someone said, why don't you try? And she put it out there and they came back. She won an award for it. And then they said, when's your next book? And she goes, what do you mean my next book? I'm not a writer. I'm not an author. I said, no, you need to do your next book. And now 13 books later, she's like, I'm writing one a year now.
Wow, that is so amazing. I love it. I love it. Yeah, you never know, right? You just have to try, put yourself out there, and doors are open.
Yeah, and same for, I never thought I would have a podcast. I never thought I'd have a YouTube channel for myself in the way I do, or never thought I'd talk about the things that I talk about, you know? So,
do you think in longer terms, in terms of like, where would you like this podcast to take you? Do you have like a bigger, broader vision?
You know, for me, it's about, I suffered a lot. You might not have heard a lot of my other content on my YouTube channel, but I talk about my life of stress, trauma, depression, suicidal thoughts. And like, I went through a lot of suffering, a lot of pain for like most of my life. I had suicidal thoughts when I was 7 years old because my external life was so painful. Yeah. And then when I got into my late 20s, my life just got even more chaotic. And I always thought, I was driven when I was younger to keep going and persevere because one day I will control the situation. One day I will get what I want. One day I will fix all these problems. And then when it all got much worse, I sort of had a switch. I nearly committed suicide, and at the last moment I didn't, because I had a switch that I'm just going to find a new way of living within. I'm going to find joy within. I'm going to find love within. And I was set on that path. Yeah. And then during that process, within it wasn't instant, like, I found love within. I found this unconditional love. I found joy, even during constant chaos and like really extreme events were happening in my life. And I was like, but I don't feel like I did before, and I felt beautiful. And I was like, then I decided I'm just going to share this on YouTube. But there wasn't really a goal. It wasn't like I'm going to share this and I'll have a number one YouTube channel. Yeah. I wasn't. And then when I had the podcast, I was like, I'm not going to have a podcast and try and have the number one podcast. I just want to connect and share. Shine some light into the dark for those that are in the darkness, as well as help others that are shining to stay bright and just connect with them. And that's been my only drive, is to connect with people, to love people with no conditions, and share and connect. Because I think through sharing experiences, that's where we all can gain something and we can all interact. And I think that's what we are, as sort of like a species. We're very social and we learn through stories and we learn through others. So it's like, that's just been my mission. But I also have ambitions, extreme ambitions of what I want and what influence I want to create. So I'm always trying to grow it and expand it. But with my podcast, it's more, this is good for me to network and to connect with people, to learn from people. But it's not, I'm not aiming to have the number one podcast show. I'm aiming to have some beautiful connections with people, to share their life and story, and see where my life goes from that. But I'm concentrating at the moment on writing a couple of books and stuff, and I think that'll be where I say make financial stability for myself will be through creating and expressing myself in different forms. But the podcast is more just for excitement and fun.
I just love that you have such clarity of thought, just in terms of the fact that you're okay with it not being number one. And in a way, that is perfectly fine. I mean, we don't have to be number one. And the beautiful thing about podcasts is that it's not just us being able to connect personally, but because when people hear a podcast, I feel that it's just so much more intimate and can really, really change a person's life. And even just one life change is something that's tremendous. And I think it's more than most people can say as well.
Yeah, and that's why it was called the Selfish Podcast, because I was like, this is really selfish. I'm having this conversation with someone for myself because I'm gaining so much with every interaction. And I said, you have a guest, and then that guest is in your mind after the show's even finished. Things they've said, little things stick out and transform your perception and give you good feelings and make your life change. So like, I was like, that's selfish, but it's about their self. So I want to hear their story, their life. Some people will get into the definition of what they is a self, you know, they go, there is no self, or there is a self, and conversation can go anywhere with that. And I also like to get to find out people's dreams, ambitions, or they might share something they've never shared.
Yeah, and I think it's so beautiful because when you hear the word selfish, it tends to have really negative connotations, but in your podcast and the way you've used it, it's actually really, really positive.
Yeah, and that's a part, because a big part of what my journey and what I share online is about self-love. Because I feel there's lots of content on it now compared to when there was only a year ago. Like, it's growing and growing. But there's very few males speaking about it in depth or going through it as well. So I feel putting that male perspective out there, and trying to explain something, it's the most selfish thing you can do. But ultimately, you're doing it out of selflessness, because the more unconditional love you have for yourself, the more ability you are to serve others. So it's sort of like the most selfish thing you can do, but it's not vanity. It's actually to make you more productive as a human.
Yeah, completely agree.
Have you had any processes in your life with sort of self-love? Do you practice it? Is it something that's come into your life in any way?
I think I found that I'm the kind of person who really likes to do stuff. And when I really enjoy something, it doesn't really matter that I'm, for some other person, they might consider it to be work, but for me, it's just really enjoyable. And I found that one of those things I really love is just connecting with people, not just physically, but also through these kind of things like podcasts. And so for me, my form of self-love is actually just doing this, even though a lot of people will look at it and go, why are you working so hard? And I would look at it and go, yeah, but I'm happy to do this, obviously, when 1 a.m. every single day, just because it brings me a lot of joy. Sometimes it does feel like work, but other times when I look back, I never, ever regret it. And I feel that I have grown as a person. I can say that my bubble has increased that much bigger. I have learned more about this world than I otherwise would have. And that's the most important thing for me, is just growing all the time. So for me, that's my form of self-love. And also knowing as well that sometimes there are just days where I just retire and I just go, you know what? I'm going to do absolutely nothing but lie in bed and just sleep this evening, or to watch some kind of a show and just binge on it.
Yeah. Anyone that's listening now, they might be quite encouraged. They're like, oh, do you know what? I want to start a podcast. This sounds good. How did you go about starting?
Do you know what? It's actually really, really simple. I just went ahead and because I heard so many podcasts who were saying that, you know what? The one thing I regret is not starting earlier, and you shouldn't allow certain things to just hold you back. For instance, a fear of the fact that I don't have the right equipment. You just need the most basic entry microphone. So that's what I did. I went and I bought a basic microphone. I've upgraded it, obviously, since, because I really loved it so much. But once I had the microphone, then I realized very quickly that, all you need is actually Zoom. So I use that. You just go on, you just click record if you've got it. And everything else, actually, Google, YouTube is the most wonderful thing because all the information is out there. So I just followed the notes that was left, the breadcrumbs, and I just started posting and started refining my process over time, I suppose. It really isn't as hard as most people think. It's just that I think the real work is just being consistent and doing it week after week after week.
Yeah, and like you said, it's just starting. It's the same for me. I was actually talking to my love Danielle and seeing if she wanted to do a podcast, because she wanted to talk and she was thinking about it. And in the time where she was still thinking, I was sort of convincing her and saying like all the benefits, opportunities and interactions you'll get from it. Like a few weeks went by and I said, I'm starting a podcast today. And she went, well, you're doing one. And I said, yeah, I said, you're taking your time. I said, you're still in contemplation. I said, I've already convinced myself now.
Yeah. I mean, never know. That's the best thing, right? You don't think too much. I think if you think too much about it, you end up just not doing it. And you just have much fear and uncertainty, and that overwhelms you, when really all that fear is more magnified and it's actually significant probably just for us as opposed to anyone else. So yeah, I mean, like, you can always bring her on and just have her be your co-host and just ease her in, I suppose.
Well, she's actually coming on as a guest soon, because she's got an incredible story. She's had a very massive transformation in her life and where she come from and where she is now. So I'm really excited to share that.
Oh, wow, it's going to be a really special episode.
Yeah. And but yeah, I started and I was like you, I was like, consistency is important. And I was like, but I can't guarantee that I can be consistent week to week. So I just said I can be consistent once a month for the podcast, because I had so many other things going on. I was like, I can do one a month, you know. And and I thought I'll just do audio only, so I didn't do Zoom or anything. I was like, I'm just going to do audio only, because of, like I said, I live remote, setting up a camera and having a good enough signal and enough data to actually make the video may cause errors to happen. So I was like, I'll just go with audio. Yeah. And recently I was considering going into video, and then I changed my mind, because I really love the intimacy I get from the audio. I feel guests open up, I think, because there's less judgment, you know, when you're not having to worry about like the camera, how you look, are you in a position, are you in camera, is just like, it drops, all of that drops away and it's just voice. So I really love that. But it also works for my location and where I am and what I'm doing.
Yeah. And that's the beauty, right? You just do the podcast the way that fits you best. It really doesn't matter. If it's just audio, that's great. If you have video and just put it over YouTube, that's completely fine. So there's no judgment. It's just that I feel as though there is a podcast for everyone out there. And it just really is finding your right people. And if people really resonate with you, then that's exactly the kind of people you want to reach in the first place.
Yeah. Have you noticed for yourself where you like to go, like what platform you use to listen to podcasts and what your guests prefer?
So I personally really like Spotify. I think I've always used it before, so it's just a place I go to all the time. I think in terms of tests, it's really a mixture. Spotify is one. I think Apple Podcasts tends to be more popular. And there's also this really interesting crowd on YouTube. And that's something that surprised me, but some people just like to play a YouTube video off a podcast or just watch you, even though it's the exact same content. They just want to watch it on that platform, which I find really curious. But I mean, I would just go to wherever they are anyway. And it's no big fuss because I already have the file. It's just about uploading it.
Yeah, because I've noticed that I put out questions on my Instagram to the followers and stuff, and I ask them every time a new podcast, like, I put up a question, like, where do you listen from? What's your favorite podcast platform? YouTube comes up as, like, every time as number one for the people that listen.
Yeah.
And mine's audio only.
Yeah.
And they still go to YouTube. Like, this will be up on YouTube with a graphic with a nice little audio wave on it and a picture of you and the picture of the show. But it's not visual yet, so many still choose to use YouTube. So if anyone's watching this on YouTube, don't forget to like and comment, say hello.
Yeah, definitely like comments. I mean, you would have to boost the YouTube channel for sure.
But yeah, that's but I've always enjoyed YouTube myself, like to find people to listen to people's, and often I'll put a video on and put it in my pocket, and the only problem is sometimes it locks the screen and shuts it off.
Yes.
And I've heard, I was doing some research recently and come across the, apparently, like, sometime this year, YouTube's really up in their stance on the podcast world.
Yeah.
And they're going to open up a complete section for YouTube podcasts and enable you to be able to listen to your podcasts with your phone locked, as well as a whole category, and much, they're going to really try and compete in the podcast world a lot more, apparently.
Yes, I think they just hired a head of podcast for YouTube, which is going to be really, really exciting.
Yeah, and I found I might do some small video interviews, I think, maybe like little 10-minute ones, maybe with my guests to get a video, because it would be nice for them to have their face and to connect when you can see someone.
Yes.
But I do just love the audio.
Yes, I know. I mean, do what you love, right? And whatever is sustainable is hard.
Yeah. Can I ask, we were talking about the pandemic and like your internal development last year, and you said you're a lawyer. So is that your full-time sort of work? Is that your actual job, say?
That is my actual job. That's correct.
And what happened in that world of being a lawyer during the pandemic? How did that affect that career?
I think it didn't really affect my career, because a lot of the work is really just people sending me documents and asking it to be reviewed. So in a way, it wasn't that big of a deal. And normally I don't really have face-to-face meetings. So just transitioning to Zoom, I think, was the strange part. Suddenly everybody was aware of Zoom and being on it and having so many of these meetings all the time. But apart from that, it was actually very, very, it was okay. Because all I needed was a computer, access to Word documents, reviewing it and just sending it off. That's basically it.
Yeah. And do you find being a lawyer, are you passionate about it, or is it a career you sort of fell into? How do you feel about it?
It's a career I sort of fell into. I suppose for me, it's one of those things where I do law and I just think, oh, is there something else out there? I suppose it's that part of me is always like, oh, I want to just kind of push the boundaries of what I'm already doing and never look back, I suppose, and regret. And the regret is coming from the fact that I never tried to do something more, because I'm still young and I want to know that I've lived life to the full.
Yeah, so just for example, like if your podcast career suddenly just boomed and took off and you could make enough income to live off,
yeah,
would you retire the whole lawyer career?
I actually would. I think it would be a lot more fun as well. And it's exciting because podcasts actually is still a really new medium. And you would actually, if I was to do it full-time, I would almost be like a pioneer and just figuring things out and bringing people along that journey. So yeah, I absolutely would, to be honest.
Oh, nice. And can you just tell people where they can find your podcast and any social media platforms? Like, where do you have your digital space?
Yeah, so it's called So This My Why. So there is a website called sothismywhy.com, and you can find that podcast basically by putting name into, say, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Listen Notes, all Castbox, every single platform. They're going to be there. They're also, I post snippets, and because my interviews are all on video, so if you go to, say, Instagram or Twitter or LinkedIn, there's a page there as well, you will see snippets. It tends to be 1 minute, and it's the audio the video version, so you can see the guest speaking as well. And if you go on YouTube, there's a channel there as well. So yeah, just go over there, type, so this is my why podcast, and you will find it.
Yeah, and I'll make sure I put all the links and everything in the description as well, so people can just click it and go straight through. And you said on Instagram it's the same? So this is my why on Instagram?
Yes, so this is my why. That's right.
Oh, nice. And we're getting nearish to the end of the show. Is there anything that you want to share? Is there anything we've not talked about that you just wanted to get out today?
Well, I suppose for me, it's the fact that when I first started the podcast, the word, as I mentioned earlier, serendipity is something that people feel all the time. And I never realized just how important that word was and how significant it would be. And I can give an example, because last summer, I actually was watching The Lily Show with James Corden. I'm not sure if you've heard of James Corden.
He does. Yeah, I saw your links with him, mentioned you on the show. That was really nice to see.
Yeah, like he does like Crossword Musical. He does the Carpool Karaoke. So I was basically watching his show, and his boss ended up being on The Lily Show. And it was the first time that his boss was on the show, and it became this huge thing because, goodness, there's this executive producer who's been made fun of publicly every single evening on US television. And it was just such a funny thing that I ended up reaching out to this boss, Nick, and I asked if he could have an interview. And he was very gracious, very kind. He said, yes. And we did this 3-hour podcast interview, which was really long. And Nick ended up talking about it on the show and became this huge thing. And it was so special and so surreal for me, because here I was based in Malaysia. And every single day I would go on YouTube and there would be this new monologue from The Lily Show. And they'd be talking to me or about the podcast. And it felt for the first time that since launching the podcast, I wasn't speaking to a wall. I was speaking to an entire crew. And this entire crew was speaking to the world. And it was just so nice, and just made me think that if I hadn't put myself out there, I would have never realized that there was this opportunity. And I wouldn't have been able to connect with really interesting people. So I suppose my really short but not so short end note is just, put yourself out there. Never let yourself hold. I mean, never let fear hold you back, because you have no idea where you end up.
Oh, nice. And yeah, it's definitely some nice end comments there. So thank you so much for that. I end the show for every guest with just a few short fun questions. Do you have time for them?
Absolutely.
So if you had to choose one, cat or dog?
Oh, dog. Sorry.
That's okay. I noticed that everyone has a choice. When some people don't want to say, and then when you just keep asking, eventually they do pick. Everyone seems to have, for some reason, a preference.
Yeah, and I think family has a lot to do with it, because I've noticed some of my friends, when they love cats, they love cats. And it tends to be because their family had cats as well, and so they grew up with it. So my family has always had dogs. We had German Shepherds. And it's a strange thing, because I've always had German Shepherds. I cannot fathom having any other dog apart from a German Shepherd. But that's the same case for any other friend with any other breed of dog. They would just go, I only want this breed of dog and nothing else. And it's just the strangest thing. We feel quite attached to our, not just the cat or dog, but the breed of the animal.
Yeah, even that's precise. Like I said, I've always just had a thing for dogs, but I was brought up with dogs around me a lot. And my love, she's always had a thing for cats, and she's had cats and dogs through her sort of life. Yeah. But we've ended up with cats and dogs. But I love them all equally. But for some reason, dogs just get to my heart. They can do no wrong. And for her, a cat can do no wrong.
It just reminded me of someone. I don't know if you've heard of him, called the Asher House. You might actually quite like him, because he actually travels around the States in his van as well with, gosh, it must be like 10 stray dogs. And that's basically his mission, to show that stray dogs deserve a lot of love. And he's just traveling the world with 10 stray dogs, and it's turned into this whole documentary as well on TV.
Oh, nice. What's it called?
It's called The Asher House, A-S-H-E-R.
Okay, I'll go check him out on Instagram.
Yeah, he might really inspire you, because he's traveling around the world in his van as well.
Yeah, I'll have a look and see, because yeah, my dog, we found him on the streets. We took him in. And the cat we rescued, she was going to be being put down at a cafe. And I apologize, by the way, it's just started raining really heavy. I'm actually under an umbrella sitting outside under.
Oh no!
But I've got an umbrella over my head. And That's okay. But hopefully the audio is still nice and clear. It's coming down really heavy. But the mic's pretty good, so it should be okay. Yeah, and but yeah, we rescued a cat from a cafe. She was going to be put down for being a nuisance. And we was like, we'll take her, even if she only lives one more day of freedom and she runs away. At least she's free for a bit of time. So we took her, and it turned out she was pregnant. So a month later, she gave birth to her kittens in the van.
And we thought we'd rehome them. It's now 3 years later and we still have them all. So we have a whole cat family with us, the mum and all her kids.
That's why you have so many cats. I was wondering whether you're going the entire country just adopting every single stray you found.
No, we just and it wasn't, we when we first got the van and we was going to live that way for a while, we was like, oh, just the two of us, you know, we'll be just really like just on our own. And within no time at all, suddenly there was a dog. A couple months later, there was a cat. A month later, there was five more.
Oh my goodness, it was meant to be.
Yeah, but no, it's an extraordinary experience. Yeah. What excites you? What motivates you?
What excites me, I suppose, is the fact that I like to do things that are unexpected and that are adventurous, so I can be quite spontaneous. So if somebody comes and says, hey, let's go caving today or whitewater rafting today, I would be the first to go and do it. I just love finding other people who are also adventurous as well. Let's go and do this thing today, even though we haven't got anything planned. But you just never know, right? I mean, life, there's so much to life than just waking up, going to an office and going back home. And I just love these little moments of unexpectedness and just finding more about myself and how I deal with certain situations and people.
Oh, nice. And what does the opposite? What really drives your energy down?
What drives my energy down is if I feel that I'm not growing. So if I'm in a position where I feel I'm just doing the same thing over and over again, and I just don't see an end in sight, I don't see it impacting people or impacting me, that really gets me down, because then I go, well, what's the point of all this? What am I doing with my life? Surely there must be more than this. So that's definitely
What sound or noise do you love?
Oh, I love the sound of the violin, because I'm actually a violinist, and that was something I was going to do if I wasn't a lawyer, be a violinist. So I absolutely love the violin.
Oh, nice. And what sound or noise do you not like so much?
Oh, the sound I don't like, it's probably the sound of somebody banging on their keyboard. I just find it distracting. I mean, it's one thing to type really rapidly with a keyboard, and nothing, just be banging as though you're fighting with your desk. That's really, really distracting for me.
What do you love about yourself?
What do I love about myself? I think I love the fact that I'm unafraid to approach and speak to people. And I never realized that this wasn't something that was common among others until I started this podcast. And then everyone started going, oh my gosh, but do you even know these people? How do you even find the courage to ask them to talk to you and actually have the conversation? And that was surprising for me. But at the same time, I thought, maybe this is a strength and a unique thing about me, and I should just completely embrace it. So that's the thing I love, the fact that I'm not afraid, right? And I would get to speak to people like you. I would never have the chance if I was afraid to reach out to a complete stranger.
Yeah, no, I had the same. It was actually my dad who said to me, he's like, because how do you talk to someone for an hour? And he's like, he goes, what if you don't get along with them? And he had all these doubts and all these questions. He's like, oh, what if they're boring? And he goes, what if you have nothing to say? And I said, my problem is I have to limit the time. And I said, because otherwise I will just keep going.
Yeah, and that's really special, right? It also gives you a sort of confidence that no matter what situation, so long as you can speak the same language and the other person is monosyllabic, you can have a conversation. That conversation leads to a relationship, and who knows where that would bring you.
Yeah, definitely. What do you love to see in others?
What I love to see in others is when people are generous, I suppose, and generous not just with knowledge of not necessarily financial, but just as people. I like it, and I suppose the better would be kind. I think there's certain people where it doesn't matter what situation happens, they're just kind and they're just always gracious about it. And I always look to them and I go, oh my goodness, I want to be a person like that. If someone really difficult comes and starts screaming at me, I want to be able to maintain that grace and that kindness and be able to deal with them in a way that is so extraordinary and special. So that's what.
Oh, nice. I like that answer. Last question. What do you love about animals? Now, this can be pets or animals in nature.
Oh my goodness. What I love about pets, I'm going to think of my dog, is because of unconditional love. It just really is, no matter what. I mean, they are the most spoiled babies in the family. They can do absolutely no wrong if they even they completely ruin the garden. But they give you their whole heart. And that is something that is so special. And I know that, like, my dog, she's passed away, but if anything were to happen to her, she would be the first to throw herself in front of danger to protect us without a second thought, without hesitation. And it's just so special having experienced unconditional love, even if it's just from a pet. In fact, because it's from a pet, that will really change you and you always bring with you.
Oh, nice. And yeah, that really resonates. Like, that's been sort of the number one answer to that question, is the unconditional love. Like I said, one of my passions is expressing unconditional love. Yes. And what you just said then is like a real real core sort of part of it is to do no wrong. If someone can get themselves into the state that they do no wrong, you know, and they love themselves regardless. A lot of people go, ah, what does that mean? I can go out of control and do anything. And it's like, no, you still have discipline. You still have a structure and you have a life. Like, you're allowed to make a mistake. You're allowed to slip up. It's not, you don't suddenly go into like a mean, horrible mentality because you didn't do it exactly perfect. And that's like you said, when it comes to an animal, a dog or a cat, a lot of time people are so easy to give the animal unconditional love.
Absolutely. I completely agree.
Yeah. It's been beautiful to hear more about you and your story, and I'm looking forward to going and checking out some more of your podcast episodes. And I wish you all the best with it and with your life and journey. I'm going to follow you myself on Instagram so I can tune in now and then and see what you're up to and what guests you have.
Me too, and thank you so much for taking the time to connect with me, even though it's absolutely pouring where you're at.
That's okay.
I've loved being able to connect with different people, and I love that you were just journey, like going around Spain and doing your own thing. I mean, that's so cool.
Yeah, and it didn't happen out of choice. It happened, like I was saying before, about things being chaos. I had a long story and I'm near the end of the show, so I just share you quickly. It happened because my partner got extremely sick and we traveled to Spain for alternative care. She was told she was going to die within 5 years and she would never walk again. Not only is she walking and talking and medication free, it's 7 years later and the doctors told me she wouldn't live five. And I was a full-time carer until she died, and all that changed. But that sent us to Spain. And then because of that, we lost our house. We lost our job in the UK and we was living off savings, and we moved into a van purely financially. Like, we didn't want to go traveling and live in a van. It's like, but you know, it's a lot cheaper, and we just embraced the opportunity to do it. And yeah, it's been a beautiful experience.
That is wonderful. It's so good that you've managed to take something that would normally get people down and turn into something really beautiful and special.
Yeah. Right. Thank you again. I really do truly appreciate you being open and authentic and sharing with myself. Like I said, even selfishly, it's been beautiful for me to get to know you and hear your story. But I know the audience are going to love it too.
Amazing. Thank you so much for having me, Luke. I've loved being here.
Thanks. Have a beautiful evening, wherever you're up to. And your episode will be out in a couple of Sundays. I'll drop you a message on Messenger and let you know all the details and share you some little promo materials as well.
Yes, absolutely. Let me know. I'll be happy to share. Thank you so much.
Have a great evening. Thanks for being here.
Bye.
Thank you so much for being here and listening to The Selfish Podcast. I'm your host, Luke Greenheart, and I appreciate you being here. Don't forget to check out my YouTube channel. Just search Luke Greenheart on YouTube. You'll find me. Check out my website, lukegreenheart.com. Have an amazing day and stay tuned for more episodes. I'll be interviewing guests on their path of self-development, their path to self, getting to know them in much more intimacy, much more depth, sharing and connecting with all so we can have a much more blissful, joyful and productive life together. All right, much love. Have a great day.